The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
Every game is the same in the standings. But man, there's certain games throughout the course of a season where there's a little bit extra emotion. And I think that's what happened last week for the Bears against the 49ers. Good evening, hello, and welcome from the Bears Network Studios inside Halas Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. We're joined by Bears starting right tackle Jordan Mills, so we're going to have a heavy offensive line influence to the show. But you know what I mean, Tom? The Bears go out, get a big win in San Francisco after that rough loss to Buffalo. And granted, it just counts as one win, not more, but you learned a lot about the team based on the adversity they had to overcome in order to win that game against the 49ers.
Right. And that, with that being said, I think if you took a majority vote of all the Bears fans around the world and you said, what's the Bears record going to be after two games? I guarantee you they would have said 1-1, beating Buffalo and losing to San Francisco. I think there's more positive benefits to the fact that they went to San Francisco, beat San Francisco, with everything that went on with Brandon and Alshon's uncertainty, the big hit Jay took in the game, the way these guys rebounded, and now they're catapulted with enthusiasm out of San Francisco or out of Santa Clara and now onto the practice field and beyond.
Right, and getting ready for a Monday night game against the New York Jets. Jordan Mills, what was that locker room like after that game?
It was a feeling that it was unmatchable. We came in the locker room and all, everybody's shaking everybody's hand, hugging everybody, and then you have Martellus Bennett talking about the monsters of the Midway, giving his little interesting pep talks after the game, giving the defense a shout-out, giving the offense a shout-out, Jay a shout-out, Brandon and Alshon, and of course he's going to throw himself in the mix, but, you know, it was good energies and good vibes. And all Coach Trustman was saying after the game, how do we win this game? He said he asked that question about five times in a row. And together as a team, we all said together as a team.
But at halftime, what was halftime like? Did you guys was it even? Because, you know, Coach Trestman, as he was going into the field, off the field with Zach at halftime being interviewed on the radio, said it's a 10-0 game. And I think that's a realistic way of looking at it, even though I know the points were different. And,
right,
and
Mark explained the 70-7 score.
Mark explained the math every time to us. But how was it at halftime? Because I was really curious how Mark what coach personality interjected in that 12 minutes?
Everybody. You know, we walked in the locker room, you could hear Mel talking defense, being intense, getting on it, and you hear Coach Cromwell coming over, and getting with the offense, and Coach Trestman, coming in the locker room, offensively we were pissed because we had six straight possessions of punts, and we started slow, and we had to get going, and then Coach Trestman and Coach Cromwell just came in there, don't worry about the second half, that's in the past, just focus on the next 30 minutes and we're going to get it going. And then we had that last drive before the halftime and scored with Brandon with that ridiculous catch. And then going into the second half, had a little momentum and the defense played great. And then we just fed off of what we did individually as, a player, Alshon making a big catch, seeing Brandon or Matt making a big run. And seeing the defense, Conte and Kyle Fuller just he's a first-round pick for a reason, and it flourished in that game with two interceptions and just fed off each other and then ultimately ended up winning.
This is like a sitcom we watch in reverse, because now I want to go back all the way to pregame, because all the years that I've been in the San Francisco Stadium, the locker room was the biggest piece of garbage I ever walked into, and I think it affected the mentality of your football team. Now you walk into that new stadium in Santa Clara, and it's Taj Mahal. I mean, it's the real deal professional locker room, yeah. And Brandon and Alshon are going to play.
Yeah.
What was that like? And that's the last thing I'll ask you about the game in reverse.
Pre-game. First of all, when we got off the bus, it was the longest walk ever to the visitors' locker room.
Correct.
Anyway, and then we get in the locker room. It was nice. It's one of the the nicest locker rooms, visiting locker rooms we've been in.
It's bigger than the Soldier Field home locker room.
It's spacious. And
that's going to lose games for San Francisco because the other one won games for San Francisco.
It was spacious. We had room to move around and get things done. And then you see Brandon and Alshon early putting their pads on, and it was like, oh, they're going to play. And we went in the game, into the game ready to, be prepared to play without them. We had, quality, people behind them that was going to play good, and then we had faith in them playing good. But to have them play Sunday night was great, and they made plays, and Brandon with his one hand catching Alshon with that bomb down the field from Jay, and that back shoulder throw when he caught it, I think it was like 43-44 yards or something like that.
What was it like when you guys were watching the game again, when you reviewed it earlier in the week as a team, and you see the catch by Marshall with the one hand, and you see what Alshon was able to do, even Martellus making plays, Cutler's run?
I thought Jay was going to score.
I thought,
but he decided to slide. Was a smart decision, but it shows he's not just a great quarterback with a monster arm. He can win with his feet.
That was desperation.
And when he took off, I thought he was gone. But he decided to slide, and just see Martellus making catches, and the catches that he makes all the time, and Brandon making, you see him throughout practice, when he's doing the pat and goes with Jay and the rest of our receivers, you see him catching with one hand, but not, in the game. And I know he did one in preseason. I think it was against the Eagles. He had that one-handed catch. But to see that, his body go – he bend it backwards to catch the ball and snatch it like that, you can show how much a freak of nature he is.
Man, there's so much to talk about from that game. Maybe we'll do it when we come back after the commercial break.
When
you
watch
ahead.
Brandon make a catch like that, then you realize why we are blessed by birth to be offensive linemen. Because even on our best day, no matter what we dieted, how we worked out, we're still not going to make that catch.
Hey, real quick, though, but because you guys are both offensive linemen, when you see your quarterback take the kind of hit that Cutler took, the one where, in the chest area, when you see that, what goes through your mind as a guy who's assigned to protect him?
I take a deep breath, and I'm sitting there thinking, I hope he's okay. And I was one of the first ones to go over there and by ask him if he's okay. And he took a deep breath and looked up, and the first thing he asked me, he was like, who was that? I was like, I don't know. And I was like, are you okay? He was like, yeah, I'm good. And he got up, and that shows how much of a physical, player he is, to be able to take a hit like that and get up, and how he takes big hits like that and he gets up from it. Not too many quarterbacks you see around, you take a hit like that and get up from it, and it shows what kind of a leader he is and what type of player he is.
I'll tell you what he did after that. He was efficient. 15 of 16 after that hit. Threw four touchdown passes and led the Bears' biggest comeback victory.
He's the big check.
No, listen to this. That's true, right. But still, the Bears' biggest comeback victory since that Monday night football game against the Arizona Cardinals in 2006. The one where Dennis Green went crazy after the game?
God.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook that game. Well, that's the biggest comeback that the Bears have had since. That was impressive stuff. Coming up next with Jordan Mills here, we're going to ask you a little bit about the guy who plays right next to you, Kyle Long, because he was in vintage Kyle Long mode during that game on the sidelines. I'll explain next with Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Pleased to be joined by Bears right tackle Jordan Mills here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We've been waxing poetic about the Bears' big win in San Francisco. One of the cool moments that sometimes you see, depending on if the camera is focused on the actual player, sometimes you don't. Kyle Long, after you guys started to click offensively, and for those that don't know, Kyle Long plays right next to Jordan Mills. They've been... You guys have
what
a special connection.
Does he, play?
He plays right guard, right next to the right tackle.
Right guard?
Yeah.
That's a fine position.
It's funny because prior to Kai Long playing the position of right guard, the last time the Bears won a road game against the 49ers, the guy sitting right here, Tom Thayer, was the Bears starting right guard, 1985. So it's been a while. The two of you have a lot in common, more so than the position and the hair. I think that I can get away with it, right?
Yep.
It's true. It's a factual thing, and the eye in the sky never lies. But anyway, so Kai Long comes back after one of your drives, takes off the helmet, and he's screaming, trying to fire up the defense, you know, the way he does, and is screaming at the defense in a good way to, you know, get us the ball back, get us the ball back, and then starts to headbutt the Bears' defensive linemen that are about to go out on the field, but he's not wearing a helmet. I mean, come on. There's got to be a point. I know you have to be in a different zone, Jordan, to play the game, but there comes a point where you just can't do that.
Yeah. man, Kyle, you know, he's one of those dudes that are going to hype you up when it's game time. You know, he never shuts up. And he is whenever it comes out of his mouth, it's hilarious. But, you know, to see him do that, it's typical Kyle. It's just, that's him. That's his way of just being himself, and you know, and we all have our moments, and we click out because everybody thinks he'll tell you right now. They'll tell him, like, if he gets into it with somebody, and he's talking to somebody, he's like, nah, it's not even me. It's not even me, coach. It's Jordan. And it's, and 95% of the time it's me, and he's like, oh, can you stop talking to the dude I have to block?
So he is a talker. Yeah. By the way, Kyle Fuller did get an interception after Kyle Long gave the motivational speech to the defensive players. But is he a guy who's constantly yapping at the opponent?
No. It's probably morally me than him, and he's telling me to calm down. But Kyle, you know, Kyle, the only thing Kyle says to anybody, because if he knows the person he's going against or he doesn't know him, he'll, you know, say something or mess with him. He was joined at Justin Smith the whole game.
Only jaw against the guy you're playing against.
Yeah,
don't jaw against someone else who's going
to
block him.
He was talking to Ray McDonald and then talking to Ahmad Brooks, and I was like, hey, what are you about to say? Because you don't have to block him. And I was like, he was like, no, I'm just talking to him. You know, he went to Virginia with my brother. I was like, okay. But he was cool. Throughout the game, Kyle doesn't say anything, you know, offensive. He's always clowning or being silly with everybody. And that's just the type of attitude. And he's a great teammate. And, you know, there's nobody like him in the league. And to have him on this team is great because he brings such passion and energy to us, and that we need. And for him, if he wants to bang his head and hype people up and do that, as long as he doesn't split his head open, I'm fine with it.
You know, he had a really nice trap against Justin Smith in the game, got under him really well. But back to you and he together. In the heat of the battle, do you guys know each other well enough now where you don't need to communicate by looking at each other and exchanging words? It could be a tap of the elbow and understanding as you're going to the huddle. You filter everything that goes through your head when you go, you know, you're approaching the line of scrimmage. Are you guys communicating that well?
Yeah. It's like hand in hand. He'll tap me or call my name, and I'll just look at him. He knows what I'm about to do on a certain play, and he prepares himself for what he's going to do to counter off of what I do, or vice versa. I know what he's going to do, so I kind of act off of what he does and so forth. So just we don't have to even talk, and we just look at each other and just know what each other is going to do before the play even starts.
It amazes me that you're the starting right tackle of the Bears, because I was at training camp last year when he said, Jordan, get in there, and then you've been in there ever since, and I was amazed then. But then you look at the process of pass protecting in the difficult circumstances that you've had to, and then I see Kyle being able to help to the inside but still keep an eye on you. That's a nice feeling, knowing that he knows that you got him and vice versa. Yeah. But then again, that's why the pass protection has been so solid under the worst of circumstances for you guys.
Yeah, we have had the past 2 years, we have gone against some of the best D-lines and linemen and defenses in the league. And to be together as one group and be that solid is great to have. And I hope, you know, I hope it continues for years to come.
What's the game, considering the two of you have been playing together now for a while? What's the game that stood out to you because of the opponent, the your specific matchup that the two of you had to face, that makes you the proudest so far in terms of how you came out of it?
For me, I would have to, you know, I would have to say our first game, Cincinnati game, because he had the D tackle. I can't think of his
Geno
name.
Geno Atkins,
and I had Carlos Dunlap, two guys that had just got monster contracts. Atkins just got signed to a $50 million contract, and Dunlap had just got signed to like a $45 million contract, and we're going against, you know, I'm going against one of the, you know, top DNs in the league.
But they're cheap compared to Mario Williams from week one. You're not going to face a cheap player.
Yeah, I know. And that first game to go against those kind of caliber guys and the way we came out of it with no sacks and played together, you know, our heads were spinning 1,000 miles per hour. And, you know, Kyle, something happened, Kyle looked at me and he'll be like, "What just happened?" Or, and I'll do the same thing. What just happened? And us to communicate and just get through it together. And that game, you know, I think solidified us, you know, to be, you know, we can do this together and with the three other guys that we have.
Is Jermon always as he appears? Is he always a level-headed guy that's a cool thinker? Or is he inside the huddle? Is he a little bit more
calm, cool, and collected? That's Bushrod right there. That's Mr. Smooth right there.
God, he is coming here, and he's provided a foundation for the offensive line that when you, a young guy like yourself that gets to feed off his preparation, his energy, and his accomplishments is pretty solid, and it's going to pay dividends for you.
Yeah, definitely. When I first got here, I watched everything he did. He was the first one out to practice, and I watched that and how he prepared. Now, if you ask him, every time he walks out of practice or he's in the training room getting tape or anything like that, the reason why I'm out to practice so early is because I saw him do it, and he's the reason why, you know, and Slauson and Garza also, that me and Kyle proved so much by watching them and how they prepare before practice and before game and how they prepare each week.
Students of the game all across every unit on the
Bears
offense.
But
think about it, not just the offensive line, but, you know, Martellus Bennett's a student of the game at the tight end position. Brandon Marshall's a student of the game. That transfers over to Alshon Jeffery.
We're bragging about offensive line here.
Matt Forte, a student of the game. Hey, speaking of Matt Forte, Kyle Long said something interesting this week, said he was embarrassed despite the fact that the Bears got a win in San Francisco. We'll explain next with Jordan Mills and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Our guest, right tackle Jordan Mills, here for the full hour. It's been a fun hour so far because we've been talking a lot about that Bears win in San Francisco. But one area where, well, you mentioned one earlier, and Mark Trestman brought this up, Jordan, about how there was one point where he had to punt six times.
Yeah.
So he said the offense isn't getting better if the Bears are punting six times in a game. And I know that's something that's motivating you heading into the Monday night game against the Jets. Another thing that Kyle Long mentioned, and I know in the meeting room it's a big deal, he said he was embarrassed that the Bears couldn't establish the run in that game. You tried too early on in the first series, but then you scrapped it for a while. When you head to Monday night's game against the Jets, the top-ranked rushing defense in the NFL, how do you get better from that standpoint?
You know, you just got to take it to practice and practice how you play, and that translates to the game. I feel the same way as Kyle. I was embarrassed also that we couldn't establish a run because we have a workhorse in the backfield in Matt Forte that you give him 10 inches of daylight and he's gone. But you just got to take it one play at a time, one practice at a time this week in your preparation and whatever mistakes you made last week, learn from it and improve on it and just find a way to, you know, get 22 going. And, you know, once you get him going, it's hard to stop him.
you know, it's, to talk about the run, you can't say you commit to the run after you run the ball the first couple plays. You don't commit to the run until you see the results in the third and fourth quarter after committing to the run and beating your opponent up. But I do think that there's 16 games a year, 8 games a year you own the snap count, 8 games a year you earn the snap count when you talk about an aggressive running game. And at home you own the snap count. You're going to be able to hear it. You're going to be so much more aggressive at the line of scrimmage because you can go towards Jay's commands. That's what I admire these guys so much for, is because they can go on the road and sustain it, an organized offensive line, and protect Jay. The running game should not be judged on the road because it's difficult to get that snap count, because you're never going to have the luxury of being an explosive run game because you're not in control of the count yet. If you have one and it starts taking hold in the third and fourth quarter, that's part of it. But I think it's something that needs to be judged week 4 and then week 8 again. A blow-up running game, I don't think nowadays in the NFL, in 2 out of 3 hostile environments is going to work.
Enter to win Bears tickets in the Bears Ultimate Tailgater Party sweepstakes brought to you by Meijer. Register on ChicagoBears.com. Another thing that Tressman talked about when he was previewing what you guys have in store coming up Monday night against the Jets on the road, a Rex Ryan defense. Multiple looks, said that when you watch them on video, it seems like they're coming from everywhere. And up front, he said, on the interior of their line, they may be as good as any defense in the NFL. When you watch the tape, what do you see?
I see the same thing. You know, they have perennial Pro Bowlers in the interior and on outside also. Well, you know, in the interior, they have Muhammad Wilkerson and, you know, second-year man Sheldon Richardson that did, you know, a great job last year and is doing – both had a great start to their season. So, you know, they're not going to let us come in their house and just, push them around. They're, Muhammad Wilkerson, I believe was a Pro Bowl last year, and he's a Pro Bowler for a reason. And Sheldon Richardson backs him up.
He's just big.
Equally, and he has a motor, and he's athletic, and so is Muhammad Wilkerson. And then they have Quentin Coples and Calvin Pace, the veteran that has been with the Jets for like 6 or 7 years, that they, you know, do a equally great job. So throughout there, you know, front five is sometimes it's a collective effort between all of them.
You know, Coach Tressman is an incredible offensive mind, and Rex Ryan's he's a cultivated defensive mind throughout his dad. It's an incredible matchup between two minds of two great coaches, one on offense, one on defense. One thing I talked about is the organized offensive line they have against the worst of environments, the Chicago Bears. And you're going to go in against a difficult environment on the front of this offense, front of this defense. But what's their guts? Is there guts to come after you with 7 guys and let Jay see it with a strong arm and leave 2 receivers open for touchdowns? So there's going to be a give and take here.
Right.
So I'm excited more to see what Coach Tressman can do with his offensive line and his weapons against, you know, these fronts than what Rex is capable of doing to the Bears.
Jordan, you know, when Tom won the championship with the 85 Bears, the defensive coordinator back then was Rex Ryan's dad, Buddy.
Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, and Jordan, by the way, is a historian.
Right.
He loves, like, the old stuff that you see on NFL films. Jordan has watched that from the time that you were a little kid, right? Yeah.
It's sorry to think that I'm the old stuff on NFL films now when he's,
But I think that one of the coolest things about that game, at least when you look forward to this game on Monday night, is Rex Ryan always talks about the fact that he was on the sidelines for that game. Do you remember him? What was he like as a kid?
I don't remember. I know they're twins. That's all I remember
about
him. And Rob
Ryan, the defensive
coordinator. I was intimidated by Buddy. I was a young player. He never gave you respect by calling you by name. It was just your number. But that was okay. If I earned his respect by him, but he referred to everybody by their number. So that was just part of life in the NFL.
Now, you always talk about how it must have made you better playing, practicing against what was a championship defense that the Bears would put on the field.
Right.
Right? Now, Jordan had the opportunity throughout training camp when you were out there on the field, when the foot was okay, and throughout the offseason, going up against, and now even in practices during the week, going up against Lamar Houston. And that's an explosive matchup.
Yeah. me and Lamar go at it every day. and you mess with each other every day. But it's great to have him and go against him because, you know, it never makes any of us, either of us, complacent. We always getting better, giving each other best, like we were playing each other in a game. So it's just to have him and vice versa for him to have me going, and, you know, it goes both ways.
All right, I was standing there the first day of one-on-ones, and Lamar went against Jordan, and I can't remember who won. But anyways, I just remember these guys are going to make each other a lot better by the end of training camp. And then the next one was Jeremiah against Kyle. Oh, no, he wasn't there yet, but I remember Kyle going his first one, you know, going, wow, this, both of these lines are going to have a great deal, a great chance to make each other better.
He loves using his hands. I mean, he's big on that. He works with Joe Kim. He loves boxing and martial arts and all that kind of stuff. How does that help you?
It helps me a lot because I also love using my hands. If you ask anybody on the team, I love using my hands. So me and him going at it, he'll give a hand, and I'll flash a hand, and I'll flip my hands. He'll flip my hands. Sometimes we like to like him and Joe Kim before practice working on hands. We'll look like them before just slapping each other hands down. But it only makes us better. And, you know, just to have him and Joe Kim also with the D-line, and he helps the O-line also to have him, you know, the hand work our hands. It goes both ways. And it's great to have, you know, great offensive linemen and defensive linemen working across the board.
And Lamar Houston is the type of player who also likes to use his mouth. He's not afraid to yap at an opponent. Now, he says he didn't say anything to Colin Kaepernick, and Colin Kaepernick says that he didn't say anything to Lamar Houston.
That's the stupidest penalty ever created in the NFL.
Well, explain to me, why is the official throwing a flag if the two guys that were involved said they didn't say anything?
They threw a flag the other night on the field, and they picked up the flag to say there was no committed foul here, but there was one down there, but they never threw a flag for it. So it's, you know, just show up healthy. That's all it's about.
All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, and I mentioned this, he's an historian. Jordan Mills watches NFL films. He reads up about this stuff. You know, it means a big deal to him to be a Bear. I know it meant a lot to you to be a Bear, Tom. So when we come back, we're going to test your Bears knowledge against his Bears knowledge on Are You a Bears Authority? That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuffed pizza or visit Giordano's.com to order now. I do think it's interesting that executive producer Greg Miller never allows Giordano's to actually put the pizza in front of Tom Thayer. I don't know why he's so worried about you staying fit and trim, but... you know, you work out enough where occasionally you can have a cheat day, right?
Dark, solid colors. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, they work.
Are you guys ready to play Are You a Bears Authority? We're visiting with Jordan Mills here on Bears All Access. Tom's along. I'm Zach. And here's how you play. I ask a question. If you know the answer, you hit the buzzer in front of you if one of you wants to do it. Just so, yeah, that's what it sounds like. And whoever hits the buzzer first.
Hey, mine's not working.
No, when the first buzzer goes off, that player has an opportunity to answer the question. So the other buzzer, the other buzzer gets cut off. Now, if say Tom got it first, answers it wrong, then Jordan has an opportunity to answer and vice versa. All the questions are multiple choice tonight except for one. And whoever has the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for Lucky Bears fans. So, Tom, you're playing for Leslie Kinsella from Joliet.
Oh, I know the Kinsella family.
Yeah, so this is
Scotty Kinsella. I went to school with him all the way through St. Ray's and Joliet Catholic.
Right, so there's a lot more on the line for Tom, just from an emotional standpoint, playing for Leslie. And, Jordan, you're playing for James Opsel from Oglesby, Illinois. And if you're listening right now, you want to sign up for a future game, go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. You guys ready? Now, we talked about the hand movement with Jordan Mills, so he's ready to go.
Do we have to wait after the multiple choice answers are
negative?
No, if you feel like you know, I mean, I would encourage you to wait, but if you feel you know, bam, just hit that thing, all right? Ready? This is a multiple choice question. Four players on the Bears' current 53-man roster are listed at the height of 6'6". Which of the following players is not one of them? Kyle Long, Jermon Bushrod, Eben Britton, Jared Allen, Martellus Bennett. Jordan.
That would have to be Kyle Long.
Incorrect. Incorrect, Tom. The correct answer, Jermon Bushrod, who is listed at 6'5".
Oh,
man. See, he's...
How tall were you listed in your high school program?
6'6".
There you go. All right, question number two. Who is the only player on the Bears' current 53-man roster who played his college ball at Ohio State? Jordan.
At Ohio State?
I'm going to give you 3 seconds. One.
Oh, my God.
Two.
I can't remember.
Three. All right. Now, Tom, do you want me to give you the choices?
Yes, of course.
Because Jordan, the hands were fast. Ryan Mundy, Santonio Holmes, Trevor Scott, Willie Young.
Santonio Holmes.
I could not remember.
I almost said Ryan Mundy.
Ryan Mundy was not the answer.
Jordan.
Santonio Holmes went to Ohio State.
Number four.
Yeah, exactly. Now he wears 14. With the Jets, he wore, I think, number 11. Number 10. And Rex Ryan said the other day it's weird to see him in 14. Now, the funny thing is Santonio says that this game has no emotional value whatsoever. Does it really? I mean, come on.
When you get to the stadium, the emotions always percolate.
He also said that he's talked to the Bears about what they need to know about the Jets. Has he?
Oh, let's play this game.
All right.
Giveaway strategy.
All right. It is a 1-0 lead for Thayer over Mills. Question number three. Bears offensive line coach Pat Meyer played on the offensive line in college from 1990.
Colorado State.
Correct.
Played with two guys from my high school.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Look at Tommy's cheating. It's like, I did not write these questions, by the way. It was written by an independent party.
I know.
Question number four, 2-0 lead for Thayer over Mills. But as we found out last week, Mills and company can rally back when down big. Question four, in the Super Bowl year of 1985, who led the Bears in tackles for the season? The choices, Richard Dent, Dan Hampton, Mike Singletary, Gary Fensick. Jordan.
I would have to go with...
Middle linebacker.
But I would have to say...
He's big and bald.
I'm going to go with Mike Singletary.
There you go.
Incorrect.
It is?
It is.
Is it Fensick?
It was Fensick, but I can't give you that because you influenced him in the wrong direction. So
give it to Jordan.
I will give it to Jordan. All right,
I was thinking Mike Mann on a middle linebacker on that defense.
Yeah, Fensick, by the way, had
I was going to say Richard Dent.
Sacks.
It's 118 tackles for Gary Fensick, okay. One of the best safeties in the history of the Bears organization. Question number five. Again, a 2-1 lead for Thayer over Mills. This is not a multiple-choice question.
Okay.
This is the only one tonight, not a multiple-choice question. Name one of the two players on the current Bears 53-man roster whose last name begins with the letter O. Jordan.
Ola.
Correct. Do you know the other one?
O'Donnell?
Yes.
Ha!
He should get bonus points for that. But it's a 2-2 game, and now things are cooking
just
down
like
the stretch.
Just like if you didn't say Ola, if you couldn't think of it.
I was going to O'Donnell next, man.
Hey, what should we know about Michael Ola? Because he came late during the offseason of the Bears, and now he finds himself in the starting lineup because of the injuries. What's he about?
He's just one of the guys, man. He's just like us. He comes in, studies his behind off, works hard, asks questions, and he's a student of the game.
Can play everywhere.
He play everywhere.
Yep.
And he's a fun guy to be around, man. And he's a great teammate to have.
That's pretty cool. All right, 2-2 game. Question number six. This is for the lead. Mark Trestman was named Bears head coach on January 16th, 2013. Including Trestman, how many head coaches have the Bears had in their history? The choices, 7, 11, 14.
14.
Tom gets it right.
Because I was reading the one time, the Arizona Cardinals and the Bears. I think the Arizona Cardinals are in like 36 or 37 head coaches over the time, and the Bears are in significantly
less.
Okay,
this is the last question. I got
to
get it.
Now, to be fair, it should be noted the Bears and Cardinals are the only two franchises who have been around since day one of the National Football League, which started 94 years ago yesterday. How about that?
Happy birthday, NFL.
Right, here we go. Question number 7. This is for Jordan to tie and send into our tiebreaker or for Tom to win. Jets head coach Rex Ryan's dad, Buddy, was the defensive coordinator for the Bears from 1978 through the 85 Super Bowl season. Rex and his twin brother Rob went to high school near the Bears facility, graduating in 1981 from which school? The choices: Lake Forest Academy, Deerfield High School, Libertyville High School, Stevenson.
Stevenson.
Jordan rallying to tie the game at three, which means we're going to the tiebreaker segment for the first time since Tom joined the show. You ready for this?
Right.
All right. There's a lot on the line. The Kinsella family, they want a Sports Authority gift certificate.
Let's go,
James
Opsahl
wants one from Jordan Mills. Here we go. Alternate guesses until someone gets it right. But you have to hit the buzzer for me to start it. Here we go. What year was Lance Briggs drafted in?
Jordan. 2003.
Correct. And Jordan Mills has rallied.
How'd you know that?
Just like last
year.
Him
and Peanut. Peanut was second round pick from UL. Then Lance was the next pick from Arizona.
Outstanding comeback by Jordan Mills to beat Tom Thayer and help James Opsahl win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Thank you guys for playing. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, you mentioned Charles Tillman. Big news with Peanut this week. We'll find out what the locker room thinks next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Jordan Mills is along. Charles Tillman out for the year after being placed on injured reserve with the torn triceps. And you know what it's like to come back from an injury and just to rehab. You know, you came back from a broken foot, and I'm sure you were a little scared, during training camp when the foot started to flare up a little bit. All that work, can you imagine putting all that work in, and then early on in the season, bam, it's over?
Yeah. It's a disappointment. I know, Peanut is, one of the toughest guys on this team and one of the greatest Bears that ever played, put the uniform on. I know he's, upset and disappointed, to be working so hard to get back and come back even stronger than he did last year and to have the same injury he had last year. It's nagging and it's irritating, and same thing with my foot when I had the mishap in a training camp. It was just like the fear of, this can't be happening again, and it's the worst possible thing that can happen to you, the same injury and for the second year in a row. But I, knowing putting Peanut in, knowing the leader that he is and the competitor that he is, I know he's going to work hard and get back as soon as possible. And he's going to be in the defensive room and cheering them on and giving them all the tutelage and knowledge they can and helping Kyle Fuller, become a great player like he is.
Yeah, I feel bad for Peanut because he respects the game so much and he's so prepared and he's so professional about it. He's a great example to everybody. No matter if you're a boy or girl playing sports, Charles is an example of preparation. And we have the luxury of seeing him go through his pregame routine where there's only a few special guys in the NFL that have the opportunity to play at his level at the length of career he's been able to play at. And it's all about his respect for preparation. No one's going to this game just showing up on Sundays and not doing anything during the offseason and training camp. And so that's where I feel bad, because he is such a great example to young kids of how to be prepared to play for the long term.
The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs next Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Zach, Tom, and Jordan here on Bears All Access. Where does he rank, do you think? Because you know a lot about the history of the Bears, and you've seen some of the best corners in Bears history, either as a kid or you played with them. Where does Peanut rank?
Well, he's got to rank right at the top because he's been able to transfer his talent through the era of change. When he first got in here, and his biggest threat to success was Randy Moss twice a year. And what type of quarterback did he have? How effective was it? And then Aaron Rodgers came in and has grown into one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history. And so you think of the way he's been able to transcend his talent. covering great guys, being extremely physical at the line of scrimmage, being destructive when they have the ball, and then they have this modern-day offense that he's been able to transcend and then grow to guys like Calvin Johnson. What more do you need to say about a guy who has a career that long?
Yeah, totally impressive, as was the guy who was asked to fill in for Charles Tillman when he got hurt, and that would be the rookie Kyle Fuller. You can't have a better debut as the next man up than Kyle Fuller did the other night against the 49ers.
Yeah, definitely. The way he played with the two interceptions and the first one he caught, was he wasn't even on both of his feet. I don't believe in the way he caught it and the way he played, and there's only you can see the, you know, Peanut Tillman in him, the aggressiveness and the, you know, the way he attacks the ball. And it wasn't just an interception, you know, on the goal line, him coming from behind and tackling Frank Gore with, you know, aggressiveness that he had, you know, it shows what kind of type of player he is.
But you know what, too, as hard as Brandon works in practice and Alshon, when those guys come to the line of scrimmage, he doesn't have great fear because he sees it every day in practice. And so I think that's one of the things that benefited Kyle when he got into the game, was how hard he's worked against Brandon in training camp. Yeah.
We got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll look ahead to the New York Jets' big game Monday night in New Jersey. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jordan Mills, I'm Zach Sabin of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. Jordan Mills is our guest, the Bears' right tackle. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears have a big game as they try to stack a second straight win in primetime. I don't know if you know this, but since you joined the Bears, 5-1 in primetime games.
That's pretty nice right there.
I mean, also Kyle Long's part of the mix, and you know, Mark Trestman's hiring and all that kind of stuff. But
and Cornelius Washington and all that.
By the way, how much confidence do you gain as an offense that you guys didn't have your best performance last week, and yet you're still able to go out and have that impressive victory because the defense was able to step up and do the things that they were able to do?
We gain a lot of confidence from that, you know, seeing that, you know, even though we didn't play well, how our defense played, you know, gave us confidence. You know, we didn't play to the up to par that we want to, our defense is still going to give us a chance. And, you know, I see great things to come with defensively and offensively and special team-wise with this team. We just got to keep working and just keep grinding and practice and taking it out to the game.
When you guys sit and watch tape, does Coach Kromer run the tape?
Yes, he does.
He's got a pretty – you know, I like watching him. When I first started to learn about Aaron and like the way that he took control of the offensive line, are you intimidated when you go into a tape session, or are your sweat rings bigger underneath your armpits when you come out of there?
But him and Coach Pat handles it. You know, Coach Pat handles it also. But you know, it's not intimidation. It is our room is one of the funnest rooms in Hallis Hall. If I have to say, you know, it's just us as a group with our coaches. It's just, you know, hilarious, and then we joke around, but in all seriousness, and we make, you know, watching film fun, and Coach Chrome, you know, he throws his jokes out there, and it makes everything entertainable, and then we have our personalities with me, Kyle Garza, Slauson, Eben, Bushrod, Olad, and
Taylor,
and Boggs, and having Dela and Groy in there. Is a whole bunch of.
Do all you guys have nicknames inside that room that we're not privy to, or is it just something you guys get in there and start working?
Yeah, we have you know, a few nicknames here and there, but it's nothing too serious,
right? Just good, for, you know. Like, it's one of the greatest rooms in the organization. The offensive line room is special, and having lived through it, it's, you know, you go in there, you shut that door behind you, and it's, you know.
I talked about this during the preseason game that you guys were playing in Cleveland, because one of the coolest things about the offensive line, everyone, when you guys go out together, everyone's in the same – you guys walk in the same position that you would play. So the guys on the right side are on the right side, the guys on the left side, and then you got – we got Roberto in the middle. But Cutler's now started to join you guys on some of these meals, and he's the leader. You guys always let him walk first.
Yeah.
It's a very tight-knit offense,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And it goes with anybody on offense. You know, if Marty joins, if Jimmy Clausen and David Fells come along, and Brandon and Elshon, anybody on the offense that comes around us, it's a tight family. And it's not just with the offense, it's the whole team.
Have you let a kicker go yet?
Yeah, we haven't had the kicker to come in and join yet, but if they're more than welcome.
All right, we got to say goodbye. Jordan, thank you. Thank you, Tom. I'm Zach Zabin. So long.